The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to Hour 1. We have a guest coming up in this hour, and if we're lucky, we'll drag him over into the second hour, too. This is a big deal. His name is Lawrence Fox. He is the son of James Fox. Who's James Fox? James Fox is the brother of Edward Fox. Who's Edward Fox? He's the uncle of Lawrence Fox. You get it now? Actually, seriously, this is an acting dynasty in England. The whole family is famous. If you saw their faces, you'd say, I know that guy. Hey, he was in this. He was in Passage to India. He was in Thoroughly Modern Millie in 1967. These folks have been in the acting world, the father and the uncle, since the 60s. Lawrence Fox, who we're going to have on today, he's been in a number of things. He was in Young Victoria, which some of you saw. He was more recently in Frankenstein Chronicles, but that's not why we're having him on today. We're having him on today because he was canceled in England by those in the acting community. Even though he's a big name, big family, they don't like his views. He's not woke enough. And he has decided to run for mayor of London. And we'll let him talk about that. But this is big. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal culturally that somebody right from the middle of the culture is suddenly called not woke enough. He is pushed around. And then he says, I've had it. I'm speaking for the people of England who are fed up with the restrictions and with the big government. So we're going to have on Lawrence Fox in a couple of minutes. Before we get to him,
can I just mention, I love him. My wife and I love him in the Inspector Lewis series. He's Sergeant James Hathaway.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I have not seen that, but that's he's most famous for that.
He's
kind of creepy, right? Not in that, but in the other stuff, he plays a villain and he's.
Yeah. He can play any role incredibly well. This guy's incredible. He really is. Love
so,
him.
And he's going to be the mayor of London. Curtis Sliwa is going to be the mayor of New York.
Yep.
People think I'm joking. I'm not joking, folks. We need
it's
to
time.
Help these people to win. I mean, I'm serious. We need to get serious about that kind of thing. But because these are bellwether, mayoralties, if that's a word. Okay. So before we get to Lawrence Fox, and if you're not watching the video, you're not going to recognize him because radio, typically you can't see people very well on radio. But on YouTube, on Rumble, we know that
glory.
Hopefully you're subscribed to our YouTube channel and our Rumble channel. Anything that's really politically dangerous, we put it on Rumble because we know the people at YouTube are cowards and communists. And not that there's anything wrong with that. We're not judging. So, but we want to say that we hope you're subscribed to our YouTube channel and our Rumble channel. And just wait till Mike Lindell gets up Frank, frankspeech.com. Just wait. Oh, you wait. Okay. Yeah. So we've got to talk about a couple of things. First of all, Albin or Chris, I don't know if you want to jump on one of these church people, Jesus Live, or otherwise I will keep talking.
Well, the church people. Now that's a new movie that's got the Baldwin, a couple Baldwins in it, right?
It's Stephen got thousands of Baldwins in it. Thousands of Baldwins. Stephen Baldwin, Billy Baldwin, his wife, China Phillips, who is going to be on this program very soon. She was with Wilson Phillips, one of the three. She's a profound woman of Christian faith. She's in it. Who's not in it? Everybody's in it. Mike Lindell is in it. Mike Lindell is one of the producers of it. Anyway, it's called Church People. It's at salemnow.com. You want to use the code Eric.
Yep.
Because you get, anytime you go to salemnow.com, there's a million movies you'd probably want to watch there. Great family viewing. salemnow.com. This one is called Church People.
Yep.
And you do want to see it as soon as possible. It is Easter themed. That's all
right.
We'll say.
By the way, I learned that Mike Lindell changed his middle name to use the code Eric. It's
That's
Mike
right. That is his, middle, his legal middle name is use the code Eric, E-R-I-C. Yes. So that when people go to MyPillow.com and MyStore.com to buy those fabulous gifts for others, they can use the code Eric and save big. By the way, this is not a joke. I wasn't planning to say this, but this morning, waking up, I'm not kidding. I thought this mattress topper, they're a little bit expensive, even with the code. I mean, it's an investment. It's not like a pillow. But I want to say it really is amazing. I haven't said this in a while. It is. I'm amazed that I simply didn't think anybody could, you know, furnish me with a product that would make me sleep better, because I sleep pretty well. I'm not one of these people that has a big issue with, oh, I can't sleep. But I want to say the mattress topper is some kind of sorcery. I don't know what dark arts Mike Lindell has used up there in Minnesota, but it really is, at least, you know, it's something that I can rave about. It's amazing. I'm not a MyPillow guy where I say, oh, I needed a different pillow. Although my father raves about the MyPillow, but I'm just amazed that the mattress topper actually amazes me. Anyway, people think I'm just saying this, but I'm not. We also want to talk about food for the poor. Okay, folks, today's the last day. I'm assuming we'll keep the banner up tomorrow on April Fool's Day, because tomorrow we could pretend, just as an April Fool's joke, that it's still March. But if you want to give to food for the poor, we're still behind. We're way behind where we were last year. So if there's anybody inclined to give, it is a great cause. I think you know it's a great cause. It's feeding kids in Honduras. The statistic is that half of the kids in rural areas in Honduras, half, suffer from malnutrition. There's just no way for us in the West, in the wealthy West, to make sense of what it's like to be in a country like that, that's underdeveloped or developing, that has this kind of problem. But we in the West, and in America specifically, we can do a lot about it. We are pretty wealthy by the standards of the rest of the world. And $37 American dollars, which is, I think that buys a cup of coffee and a scone. And that can feed a kid for 6 months, because Food for the Poor, they get huge donations from around the world, and they stretch a dollar very far. So $37 feeds a kid for 6 months. Whatever you can do, today's the day. So we're asking you, please, today, go to our website, metaxastalk.com. We ask you to do a lot of stuff, but we feel that these are good causes. So if you want to give an Easter gift, obviously this is Easter week. Tomorrow's Holy Thursday. Good Friday is Tuesday. I can't believe we're already here. Of course, I celebrate Greek Easter, which it doesn't come for a couple of years yet. But we want you to go to metaxastalk.com. Actually, we do have, Albin, I think we have a clip that I want to play. So today is literally the final day, folks, right? So as a result of what we've done so far, we've raised $66,000 from this show alone. That's you listeners and you viewers. And I want to say again, thank you, because you don't have to give a penny. Many of you know about Food for the Poor. You know that they're extraordinary. But we've provided food for 1,800 kids in the next 6 months. We can do hugely better than that. There are a number of people listening to this program who could do that all by themselves. And I just want to say it's a great cause. They come to us on this program because they know who is out in this audience and that you are generous. So let me play the executive VP of Food for the Poor is Angel Aloma. We've got a short clip.
Not at all. But I it does fill my heart every time. I never get accustomed to it. When I heard it was over that amount, I thought to myself, oh, my God, they've done it again. You know, it really makes me go to my job with a spring in my step and a smile on my face. Let me tell you.
Well, I am. He's being really kind, but we're way behind where we were last year. So let me just exhort you, if you haven't given, this would be the time. I also want to say, before we do go, do not forget Sight and Sound this Friday. Go to sight-sound.com, sight-sound.com, Friday, p.m. we have a live theater event. It's absolutely huge, and we hope you can join us. Sight-sound.com. It's the Jesus event, gigantic theater. It's the whole story, the whole Easter story on stage, and you can watch it live 7 p.m. Eastern. Go to sight-sound.com, and we'll be back with the next mayor of London. Oh, yeah. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, you remember a few weeks ago we had on the man who's going to be the next mayor of New York, Curtis Sliwa. Well, I thought, you know what? We've got some friends across the pond. Why don't we see if we can find out who's going to be the next mayor of London? We figured out who it is. I'm not kidding. His name is Lawrence Fox. Lawrence, welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're hoarse from your first stump speech, aren't you?
I am a bit. I was quite nervous doing my first stump speech, I have to say.
People don't know this. Listen, I have to frame this, and you can feel free to interrupt me. And I'm not kidding, but I want people to understand that you're initially in your life, you're an actor. You're principally known as an actor. People who watch quality programming filmed via the BBC and other such outlets will know you from the Inspector Lewis, is it?
Yeah.
Series. I know you from the Frankenstein Chronicles and from where you played a tremendously creepy character. I'm glad to know you're not quite as creepy. And then of course, the Young Victoria series, which is wonderful. What's the name who did you play in that? Lord Palmerston?
Lord Palmerston, yeah.
So a lot of people recognize you. People who watch quality TV programming recognize you. I know you through your father, who really very kindly emailed me maybe a year or so ago saying that he was a fan of my books. And I just flipped out because I know your father's work going way back and your uncle's work. So you come from an acting family, do you not?
I do. I think it's fair to say I do come from an acting family.
I think it's very fair to say that. So you come from an acting family. You are an actor. So people want to know, why did Lawrence Fox, the actor from the acting family, suddenly decide to go into politics and to say, yes, I would like to run to be the mayor of London? I mean, again, remember that most of the audience is American. They cannot fathom what's going on in London. So give us an idea for those of us who are not following the horrors of what your current mayor is doing.
Yeah, we'll get on to my current mayor. He's dreadful. I think the reason why I'm not acting now is because about a year and a couple of months ago, I went on a TV show in England called Question Time, which was is a topical panel show, political panel show. And I was invited on it because I was promoting some music. So I also do music. And I'm sorry, I forgot
you also do music. You're a triple threat. Music, acting, politics.
Exactly. Yeah. Music, acting, politics.
Politics.
Yeah. So I went on that show and I got into an argument with someone who said that I wasn't allowed a view because of my white privilege. And I said, let's not be racist to each other. That went down pretty badly. So my show business career ended pretty quickly after that with the Actors Union in the UK calling for me to be denounced. Because I berated a woman of color. And
you berated a woman of color by actually treating her like an equal the way you would treat a white woman. That's so nasty. I can't believe I would even have you on this program. Let's continue.
And yeah, exactly. And then I said, let's not be racist. The Actors Union called for me to be denounced. I said, that's pretty strong language for someone who was calling out racism. I had to threaten to sue them. And then, you know, obviously the sort of general storm starts of how dare you say that stuff, the battle between truth and what people wish was true. And I ended up much later on going, there's a real problem in society and culture here, and we need to address this problem. So I thought I'll put acting aside for a while and I'll deal with what needs to be dealt with more pressingly.
Be careful, because Ronald Reagan put it aside for a short season and he never really got back in. I want to ask you, Lawrence, where do you get your views? In other words, for someone to have the temerity to say what you said on that program, most people know that what you said is perfectly normal, perfectly respectful, perfectly wise, frankly, and thoughtful. But we know that people in the acting business are either on the opposite end of the spectrum, or they are so fearful they would never dare say what most viewers are already thinking. They would pretend to buy into these woke requirements. So what was it that prompted you to say such things in a public forum when you knew that by saying such things, people wouldn't like it?
You mentioned my dad already. I was very lucky in the fact that my mum and dad brought us up to express ourselves and to, you know, work out how we felt by talking. And I didn't actually weirdly know that that was such a cultural landmine. But I still would have done it if I'd known, because I think it was an important thing to say. But I didn't know. But I think you've got to be courageous in the way that you think, because I get a lot of messages from actors going, hey man, I hate this job, I can't say anything. And I'm like, the whole point in art is that art pushes against cultural norms, and art needs to be a bit heterodox in the way that it thinks. And it just stopped being that way. And it turned into sort of drama by committee, Netflix, Amazon Prime type deals. And it's actually been lovely for me, because I haven't seen anything since I stopped acting that I wished I was in other than Paddleton.
Well, what I think is happening in part is that folks like me are thinking, if I could cast a movie, we're making a Bonhoeffer film. If I could cast a TV program, whatever I could do, I would seek out people who've been canceled. And I think a lot of people are thinking that way. They're thinking, who has paid a price? Who has been canceled? I want that person. That person deserves a job. And of course, it's quite like the blacklist in Hollywood in the 50s, you know, all of the folks who paid a price back then have been lionized for the last seven decades as the great heroes of the United States. And in fact, that's precisely what Hollywood is doing right now, which is ironic. And that's the nice word, hypocritical, despicable would be other accurate words to describe it. So I think something is happening, and there are many people that are thrilled that someone like you would be willing to voice what they are already thinking. They certainly know they're not racist, and it's offensive to be called a racist when you know that you hate racism. Let me ask you, tell us about the situation in London? Because again, most Americans are not familiar with your mayor and what is happening. Tell us about that.
So we have a mayor called Sadiq Khan, who is a,
Sadiq Khan. He's an Irishman, no doubt.
He's a British Pakistani son of a bus driver. He was a human rights lawyer, I believe, before he became a mayor. And he just has this amazing ability to put identitarianize, is that a word? Everything. And he's no good at being a mayor. So we have a violent crime epidemic in London, a really dreadful violent crime epidemic. And we have a housing crisis and we have a transport crisis. And he sits there and goes, there's no reason why 62% of employees in business in London should be white. And it's like, well, there is one reason, Sadiq, because we're an 85% white majority country. Let's not talk about skin color all the time. So he's the most divisive guy. He's just spent £100 million of taxpayer money on something called a Commission for Diversity in the Public Realm. And he's already had to sack one of the guys on it for being an out and out anti-Semite to try and tear down all the statues. And, you know, America's seen this through and through, hasn't it? With those sort of woke mayors who just try and build a city in their own image.
Let me ask you, I mean, our mayor in New York is just dramatically, unprecedentedly incompetent. We've had a number of seriously incompetent mayors, but this guy is ambitiously incompetent and also plays the identitarianism. Such an ugly thing. It deserves an ugly word. But he is very divisive in that way, in addition to being incompetent. But again, most of us here aren't aware of what's going on across the pond. And it's fascinating to think that someone like you has been willing publicly to take it on and even to, what's the phrase you use? Stand
for it. So you stand for the mayoralty.
And what are you hearing, ear to the ground, so to speak? What do you hear among the population with regard to your candidacy and the possibility of you succeeding?
Well, my favorite bit happened today when I was flicking through the delightful expression of humanity that is Twitter. And there's actually an American, stop it, doggies, stop it. there's an American guy called Brian Rose. I think he's American or he's Canadian. And I got a lot of press yesterday when I launched my bus, which is a picture of Churchill with a face mask on. And the video just goes, he goes, I hear there's another guy on the block who's got a bus, but I want to tell you, my bus is bigger than yours. And I'm just like, vote for that dude. He is the best.
That's WWE kind of style reporting. So you're doing this obviously seriously. In other words, there are people that run for things and they're doing it to make a statement. You're doing it to make a statement and to win. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Lawrence Fox, actor become politician. Don't go away. Strolling along country
roads with my baby. Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener's square, and use promo code ERIC. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code ERIC. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC.
Folks, I'm talking to Lawrence Fox. I'd like to think he's the next mayor of London. Lawrence, you've been an actor for a long time. You come from an acting family. I was telling you about the sweet emails that I've exchanged with your father. It was extraordinary to me when he told me in an email that you were being persecuted for not being woke enough. And I was cheering you silently as I read the email. So to hear that you have been driven to run to become mayor of London really just thrilled me. And I wanted to share it with my audience. There are many, many Anglophiles here in America. I'm enough of an Anglophile that I majored in English Lit in college. And my wife and I had our honeymoon in London in October. No kidding. So I was really thrilled to hear about this. Why do you suppose that, or why do you think that you could win? Because I think people want to know that this is not just something you're doing. You really do hope to win. And of course, we hope you'll win.
Yeah, well, we have a free speech crisis in the UK anyway, more broadly, and in London it is particularly dreadful. And I think we're in a place now in Western democracy and in Britain and America has got the same problem. If you cannot unite around a set of agreed values, then you're going to be in real trouble. So, you know that London has these values, but a lot of people are too frightened to express themselves because they get called racists or they lose their job or whatever. But those values about sort of freedom of expression and thought and inquiry and equality under the law, and perhaps we're not all a bunch of misogynistic racists, that sort of thing. There's a constituency in London who just don't get to voice that opinion. So Sadiq Khan is speaking to the woke progressives, and I'm speaking to the people that just want to get on with their lives and be loving to their families and their children.
Now, he's ostensibly a Muslim. I guess my question is, it would seem to me that many Muslims in the UK would fall in with your way of thinking more than with his. In other words, this ridiculous progressive wokeness doesn't strike me as the kind of thing that a devout Muslim would buy into.
Well, he's. I think first and foremost, he just hates Britain. So I don't think his religion really comes into it. But the Muslim thing is going to be helpful when it comes to the postal vote and the posting ballots, right? Because you know, you can tell people how to vote and what you expect them to do vote wise. That's why he's so keen. We have the same problem here as you do in America. He's like, remember to do a postal vote. It's like,
now oh. I'm a little lost. What do you mean postal vote? You're talking about. So, mail-in votes, what we call mail-in votes?
Yeah, yeah.
So how does that work? In other words, so he does use his ostensible identity as a Muslim, of course, not terribly devout, but he uses that to get his fellow Muslims to vote for him.
I think there's an element of that going on. But, you know, London is such a diverse city with so many different people from so many the far-flung corners of the world. But straight away, what he did was he said, when I announced my candidacy, which was quite, you know, moderate. I don't like the knife crime epidemic. I'm very, very sad about the kids walking around with knives. So I was pretty firm about that. But I wasn't coming up with anything. Other than we need to solve this knife crime epidemic, he will not debate someone from the extreme far right. And I went, wow, I've got two children and you're putting out in public that, and as much as I respect and admire your freedom to speak, your freedom to be so toxic so quickly is very, very difficult. So I left the house with my kids and I was a little bit like, stay close, you know, and I just thought he's an unpleasant dude. And he loves celebrating Black Lives Matter and things like that, which we've had huge problems with in London.
Okay, so then he really is dramatically woke. He's celebrating Black Lives Matter. Let me ask you, don't you think that you could drive a political wedge between him and some Muslim voters on the issues? You know, this is one thing to say, I'm a Muslim, but it's kind of like with Joe Biden. I'm far more Catholic as an evangelical than Joe Biden is a Catholic. On the issues, he's dramatically anti-Catholic, but he uses it for people who aren't thinking very much. But it strikes me that there are values that Muslims have in London that he does not share and he simply won't talk about it, and that you might be able to use those against him. I don't know what those would be, but it seems to me that there are many conservative values held by people of Islamic faith that he not only doesn't share, but that he's opposed to.
Yeah, I think that's important. I mean, but most importantly, what he's done is he's driven our city. So while we have all been in lockdown, he's created these, they've all been out on the streets, the road workers, creating what he calls a low traffic neighborhood. I don't know whether that's a feature of American streetscaping or town planning. But essentially what he's done is he's made it impossible for anyone to get anywhere, to travel by car. So it's impossible. And admittedly, London is, you know, it's got a lot of traffic, but now it's gridlock. And he said, you can't go from A to B unless he deems it a necessary journey. And I'm like, hang on a minute. We live in one of the freest democracies on earth. It's not your job to tell us what is and isn't a necessary journey for us righteous individuals, sovereign individuals. So, I mean, he's got so many things you can attack him on. Tomorrow, actually, it's April Fool's Day. Do you have April Fool's in America?
Yes, we do. We don't have Guy Fawkes Day.
So tomorrow, actually, I have had a few people doing a little bit of looking into Sadiq and where Sadiq spends his money.
Before you complete this, we're going to, in showbiz, we call this a cliffhanger. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll hear about the April Fool's prank Lawrence Fox wants to do at the other side of the break. Don't go away. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to the man I hope is the next mayor of London, England, Lawrence Fox. What are you going to do tomorrow? I didn't know that you had April Fool's Day in England as we do in America. What was your thinking for tomorrow?
I've had someone, two people actually bury themselves deep in the mayoral finances of London. And tomorrow we're going to tell Londoners something about Sadiq Khan and where he spent his money and what he's been doing with it that they will think is an April Fool's, but it isn't.
I like your style. We like the cut of your jib, Lawrence. This is wonderful. I do have to say that we're at a point, of course, where your average American, your average Briton is fed up. In other words, they've seen these things and they're nice people. They go along to get along. But at some point you get fed up and you say, this is madness. When you describe the idea that this mayor dares to tell people that they ought not to get in a car unless it's a necessary journey, unless they can justify it. You know, we're not living in Nazi Germany. We're not living in Soviet Russia. It's despicable and fundamentally against the values of our free societies. People do have to wake up. People do have to vote for you and scream about it. When is this election that you're going to be running in?
May the 6th. So we just started sort of formally, really, we formally announced a few weeks ago, and then we got the bus out yesterday to go and visit people. And I just go and speak to people on the ground. You know, he won't do that. He won't go and speak to normal people. He gets in his huge expensive car and his 7 security guards. And even though people will occasionally come up to me and give me grief, I don't have a security team. I don't think it's important to have one. And I just go and speak to people every day. And you meet the most, you know what's so great about life, and it's such a great lesson, is people are fantastic all over the world. In little corners, you go and meet someone and you just go, wow. And they'll give you a story and they'll teach you something about humanity that you would have never learned unless you'd gone and met them that day at that point. So that's what I will be doing for the next time. I've got a few important bits. We've got policies to do. I've got some, but I'm releasing, I'd like to tell everyone all the policies all the time, but my team make me go, no, you have a grid. It's important that we release this policy on this day and this policy on this day. But we're doing, our policies are full of hope and optimism and togetherness, and they're anti-divisive, they're anti-identitarian, and they're identitarian, they're pro-love. But apparently that's all right.
But it seems like there's very little time. In other words, when you say the beginning of May, I'm startled. I mean, is this typical in England that people only campaign for a month or so?
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes they call a snap general election a month later, so you've got to get the whole of the UK candidates on to do that. So, traditionally in England, there's not a very long campaigning season like you get in America, and now with the postal vote, which drops on Easter Sunday, you have even less time. So this is the
mail-in votes. What is your sense again? Because we're not familiar with the political landscape over there. Have there been folks like you standing for important positions? Because you get the impression over here that everybody over there is woke or semi-woke or quiet. You're being rather boldly anti-woke, anti-Marxist, pro-freedom, pro-democracy. Have there been many like you, or are you one of the first? What is it like?
I think we're definitely in early adopter stage. In the UK, I think people have found it quite hard to get their head around the fact that woke isn't compassion, isn't awakeness. It's a divisive, sort of disgusting, modern, unformed religion with no redemption and no forgiveness. And they haven't quite. People know that it's a bit wrong. They know that they don't want their friends cancelled from jobs for believing in biological sex as a reality and things like that. But they haven't quite drawn all the dots.
That strikes me as exactly the kind of thing that you could use to get Muslim votes. The madness that, the woke thinking along the transgender radical line is perfectly against what most serious Muslims believe. And so he seems to be getting away with that. And I would think you could call him out on that.
He's very clever, though, because what he does is he has a different sort of, he's like the baddie in Scooby-Doo, you know, where they sort of go, "You would have got away with it if it hadn't been for you pesky kids." And he can just put on a new mask every day. So one day, today, he was going on about it's Trans Acceptance Day or something in the UK today. And instead of going out and doing what he should be doing, which is stopping boys stabbing each other in the street, which should be, I would say that's his priority. He's virtue signaling about trans, being a trans ally. And my point to him, which is, we've had this, I'll tell you something lovely. Today, because everyone said Britain's racist and vile, the government commissioned 267 page report into values of the way that we look at race in this country. And we've come out again for about the fifth time to be the most warm, welcoming, tolerant country in Europe. But Sadiq is talking about how to be a trans ally. And I'm saying we're all trans allies, Sadiq. We're people. We love people. We're not going to be this critical social justice way of going, I have to be someone's ally to prove that I love them. No, not at all. And all he's done is virtue signal all day when he could actually have gone out to some of these neighborhoods where you've got disabled people and vulnerable people and emergency services unable to get to flats where people need them. You know, he just doesn't care. He's Mr. Virtue. I can't bear
The other thing that comes out of this is that I would think that when you're talking to Muslim voters, to make the case that Black Lives Matter and any of this woke ideology is inescapably Marxist, which is inescapably atheist. They give lip service to certain values, but at their heart, they are Marxists, they are atheists, they do not believe in God. They will never speak about that.
Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
I'm worried that it is a religion.
It is a religion just as atheism is a religion. In other words, it is an ideology that becomes a religion. But what I'm saying is that it is an anti-God religion. When we think of the God of the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians, that God is rejected by the Marxists. But of course, they're very clever about it. They try to have it both ways, and they talk about Christian values and Christian. But they don't. They have no roots. They don't want to talk about that. They're fundamentally anti-family. I mean, the leaders of BLM are perfectly Marxist, perfectly anti-family, perfectly against everything that would help blacks. But they fake it. We'll be right back. We're talking to the next mayor of London, Lawrence Fox. Don't go away.
Are falling out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither.
Holy cow. Alvin and Chris, I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted.
What a day. What a day.
Next mayor of London, Lawrence Fox. I guess I want to tell people this is literally the last day. So this is our last opportunity even to share this with you, because this is the end of the last hour in our last day. If you can go to Food for the Poor at our website, metaxastalk.com, metaxastalk.com. We are doing this fundraiser. This is just the last moment for you to participate. So I know there are people out there who haven't yet given. You know who you are. Don't make me call on you, because the whole class will look at you and you'll never live it down. So just you sit there silently. You know who you are.
Yeah.
And you haven't yet given. You could give. You've just been busy. You're busy listening, for example, to me blather on, when you could be at our website, metaxastalk.com, doing this right now. In fact, you could do it right now. We're going to give you the rest of this segment off. We've got 4 minutes left in the segment, and I'm just going to say, go on. God bless you as you go. Go to metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner. You can give as little as you like, as much as you like. We will enter every single person that gets their gift in by today. Doesn't matter what amount you give. You're entered in our grand prize drawing. And our grand prize drawing, oh, it is grand indeed. Alvin, tell them what they've won.
Well, they win a lot of signed books by Eric Metaxas, the signed series of Hamster Homes from Elbin Sadar. They get hats, they get T-shirts, they get stickers. They get probably a mug or two as well. And by the way, oh, and there's Eric holding up one of the books, if you can keep it. Take it away, Eric.
This book will save the world if only people will read it and talk about it. And that's why I wrote it. And you can see Lady Liberty is drifting away.
Yeah.
And we have to.
She's holding up a pack of smokes. That's how bad it's gotten.
I know, it's gotten so dark.
By the way, please call as well. There's a number, 844-863-HOPE. That's for Food for the Poor, final day, 864-863-HOPE. Please give any amount. You get entered into the grand prize drawing, and we'll announce those winners next week, by the way.
And tell us the number again, Albin, and I want to make sure we're getting this right.
It's 844-863-HOPE.
844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Now, listen, folks, those of you who are listening to us right now or watching us right now, what you need to do is you need to walk away, tear yourself away from the radio or screen, go to a phone, telephone. You could even use the thing, what do we call that thing that we take pictures with? Oh, yeah, the phone, 844-863-HOPE. You could dial it right now. Doesn't matter what you give, but if you do it today, you'll be entered in the drawing, and there's a pretty good chance that you can win one of these grand prizes. Much more importantly, you will be helping feed kids in Honduras who are really struggling. This is what we do. This is what we who have been blessed do. We are blessed to be a blessing. So the least we can do is do something with the blessings that God has given us. So 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. And of course, you can go to our website, metaxastalk.com. You're going to see the banner for Food for the Poor. It'll only be up today. I guess we'll try to keep it up through the end of the week, but I can't guarantee that because there are people involved way beyond us, and they have their reasons for doing it. So,
and one other thing, Eric, let's talk about Sight and Sound and the Jesus event. It's a theatrical.
Let's not
event.
And say that we did. Oh, all right.
Okay,
it's so
Friday.
It's Good Friday. Yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's live. I think this is a great thing to do with your family. I mean, to watch a live event on Good Friday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern, obviously 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Left Coast time. But if you can watch it live, it's going to be cool. This is, we'll have Josh Enck, he's the president of Sight and Sound, on tomorrow to give us details. But it's insane. It's the largest flying, what did he call it?
The largest flying LCD screen
or something like that. Anyway, I think we're out of time. Thank you.